Page County Board of Supervisors. Please rise and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation. Juergens, Dorn, Bauman, Adams, Lytle, Byers, and Setzer. First thing on the agenda is the consent agenda, which is the general agenda. Approve minutes of meeting held May 4th. Approve all claims through May 18th in the amount of $385,902.03. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve claim to Clark Law Office, Public Defender, in the amount of $9,800. Approve additions, withdrawals of securities of county monies, and that is the consent agenda.
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented, but I'd like to discuss item 5.
Moved by Bauman, seconded by Dorn. Discussion.
This amount is in excess of what was budgeted. Roger is aware that in the contract that we have the public defender, it also allows for up to 10 hours of continuing education. And so that's going to be modified in the next contract because we've got a limit as to what we budget as a contract, but it also says we will pay for an additional amount. The additional amount is
$147.
So that's in the contract language really allows for that, unfortunately. So Roger's going to deal with that next time. It's within. This will be the last bill that they will submit. Don has contacted them and said, your budget's done. Don't submit any more claims. So that's done. So we wanted to bring that to attention. So.
The reason that this is on separately is because you guys had already gone through the claims on Monday, and this came in Monday afternoon. So we put it on separately.
Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Regular agenda is comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Any comments from the public? Mark Mintz, emergency manager report.
Good morning. I think you all have one left to report in your bins. Just to go over some of the activities, some of the programs. We had a Rotary program on severe weather. We participated in the health and safety fair in Wymore. We had a good attendance there. Southern Elementary fourth grade program on severe weather. That was in conjunction with the poster contest that we held again this year. Some of the training and exercises, we sponsored a class here on dealing with news media held at the Extension Office, FEMA class. FEMA taught that class. We had about 26 attendance at that class. FEMA Long-Term Community Recovery Workshop in Lincoln. This is a something not new with FEMA, but FEMA is pushing this back down to the local level now. For example, FEMA is the division of recovery in FEMA Region 7 right now is a one-person office. So they're pushing for the locals to get more involved in how to plan for recovery after a disaster. One of the big things, and there was a lot of people there, was working with economic development. They really want us to write a plan with economic development, how we're going to recover after disaster, how economic development can work with us on that. We participated in the interoperability webinar for county officials, covered a lot of questions on some of the statewide interoperable communications projects, and I listed those there. I'm going to talk a little bit more. We have a committee meeting Thursday night, but kind of where we're at on how it's going to affect the county, our the statewide system. One of the big things we're working on right now is a statewide data system, which is a microwave system, which eventually all the county offices will be on that system. So, example, the treasurer's office, everybody will be working with this. And the way the system's designed now, just so you kind of know ahead of time, is that we're going to need two tower locations to fit that system into our county. Unfortunately, the county towers that we get for free will not work for them systems, for that microwave system. So we're really working hard to try to figure out what we're going to do there. One of the towers that they looked at, I've already contacted the company, and it's about $1,200 a month to rent. So you kind of heads up of where we're at on that system. So I know the webinar wasn't attended by very many county officials. There was very few people on the webinar that day, but there's a lot of questions. Larry Dix was on there, so hopefully we're working with NACO to help get this word out to the county officials and kind of work with NACO on how we're going to, you know, subsidize some of these systems. Not only will we be responsible for tower space, we'll be responsible for maintenance, upkeep, insurance, electrical, everything they may need to, for them systems. So there's four basic systems we're working on right now, and the data system is the biggest thing. We have a regional meeting today where we're going to talk about the company's actually been hired to install that system. The statewide mutual aid system, that's a system where if the sheriff, for example, is transporting a prisoner across the state of Nebraska to McCook or wherever to the prison, at any time they'll be able to talk on their radio to another law enforcement agency wherever they're at in the state. And then the statewide communication system is where the state ties in with the locals. So like the state patrol and the sheriffs, the police department, game commission, the fire marshal's office will all be able to talk to each other. And then the paraclete system is a system where the dispatch centers can talk to each other. So four major systems going on that really are going to affect our communications. And this is something that I'm looking at in our next year's budget already. So working pretty hard on trying to get a handle on where we're at on all that. Actually, the paraclete system is partially up. Our region is the last region to get the system, which is one advantage is we're going to have a better idea of what it's going to cost to install it, and we're going to have a better idea, you know, all the bugs will kind of get worked out of it before we get put in our system. So, but we'll talk a little bit more about that at the committee meeting, too. We had an evacuation full-scale exercise at the Weimar Good Samaritan home, and Sean and I evaluated that, and we're going to end up, what we want to do is see all the nursing homes in the county actually evacuate an evacuation plan with them. They're required to do it with the fire marshal's office, so, and we're required to do it for emergency management, so we're trying to do one instead of doing two. And they did a very good job. I got to give credit to the Good Samaritan home. Just right at 7 minutes, they had the whole facility completely evacuated across the street. So that was a good deal. And then we participated in the statewide, full-scale statewide exercise at the University of Lincoln last week. I was evaluator of the Lancaster County SWAT team. The scenario was an active shooter. We had responses this month. Was responded to a chemical spill on Highway 77 near Hickory, a large chemical spill, fertilizer. Responded to a missing child near the State Line Church. Responded to an aircraft accident in Blue Springs. And we've had two severe weather days already this year with watches and warnings. Part of the biggest project we're working on, as I'm spending most of my time, is our hazard mitigation planning. We had another meeting last night in Plymouth. We have training 2 days next week in Lincoln on benefit cost analysis. This is something, again, I'll talk to the committee about. I got to go back out. As Matt knows, we had a hard time getting our first round of paperwork done. I'm having a really hard time getting the second round done. So I'm going to have to, now they told us the townships didn't need the resolutions. Now the townships need the resolutions. So, and I'm still trying to get the resolutions back from the cities and villages. So, again, we'll talk a little bit about that. But the biggest changes they already did on us was that originally you had to list what your project was in the plan. So you had to come up with a project and list that project. Now, as long as the project's somewhere in the plan, you can apply for that. So, example, if a village put in for a generator for their fire department, but another village didn't, now this village over here that didn't can put in for it. So that's opened up a big thing. So we had a couple of townships represented, a couple of villages and cities represented in Plymouth last night, and they're already wanting to start the paperwork. All that paperwork has to come through my office as they apply for that. So we'll be, again, talking about some of that. So you know, if we hear people or villages or townships talk about that, probably the biggest thing the townships are going to benefit from is some new culverts. And Marlon was there last night, too. And so there's going to be a lot of paperwork involved. So,
question on the purchase of the infrastructure stuff like culverts.
Will the dollars be there first, or will we have to expense that ourselves and then get reimbursed? We'll have to expense it first. So will they coordinate that effort with Marlin so we don't have 50 culverts the townships are trying to do?
That's what we're trying to do is figure out. She sent an email out even last night when we were from her smartphone when we were standing on the main street of Plymouth to the FEMA. Again, my biggest question is that we want to try to coordinate the thing. You know, it's a 75-25% match. So, you know, there's some townships that told me they'll have a paperwork in to me today already, and they want to do some requests. So, it's going to be a big part. We talked a little bit during the meeting and after the meeting of there's some things that she says is a simple one-page letter and it'll be done in 30 days. Marlin's dealing with the same, and that's on the
NEPA.
Yeah, environmental stuff. Marlin's been working for 3 months on a project trying to get this approval. So we don't know what the difference is, but there's going to be quite a bit of for a township to put a culvert in, they got to do a hydrology study. And we're trying to get away from that. We're trying to call it what we want to do, and I asked her this last night, the road washing out and flooding, if we put a new culvert in, it changes the stream, but the thing is, it's a public safety factor. So if the road washes out, you can't get an ambulance or fire truck or something down it. It becomes public safety. Then you don't have to do those studies. So it's just kind of how we word the grant. So
what's the deadline to get these done?
We have 5 years on the plan.
What can we incorporate any deadline with the other, say, and just the culvert issue here from a budget standpoint? Since we've got to expend those dollars, we've got to know what they're planning on spending between July 1 and July 30th of 11-12.
Right. I'm
sitting here listening to you going, wow.
I know.
Okay.
And that's something I don't know how we're going to be able to do right off the bat. You know, we had the plans 5 years, and every time there's a disaster, there's more mitigation money. Right now we're sitting on $12 million, if you told us, $12 million in the state. So $12 million in the whole state. But every time there's a disaster, that builds back up really quick. So and there's a disaster right now, and they're expecting to pre-write a disaster actually this time for flooding because they're going to be opening up some dams. And actually, west in the middle part of the state, around the Platte River, they're going to be evacuating people today. So
if you are able to not have to do the hydrology study because you can say it's a public safety issue, can any cost to the county be expended under your budget and get reimbursed through that EMPG?
No. No, because you can't mix match federal funds.
Okay.
And some of this 25% can be done in kindness. So my work, if I would not be paid by EMPG, but Marlin's time and his office staff's time to put in this can be put towards that 25% towards in-kindness, too. So that's another documentation thing that we're going to have to make sure, as well as the township people. Even though the township board doesn't get paid because they were there last night, them hours that they said at the 3 hours they were at the meeting last night and the travel time and their mileage counts towards the in-kindness of their 25%. So I have to encourage them and give them forms to fill out to make sure they're writing this all down to get to save them money in the long run. So, and again, well, I got some ideas that we'll just have to kick around and see what we're.
What's the probability that they will end up getting the money for like the culverts? Real good.
I don't think it's gonna. You know, the other thing is there's some advantages to be really on top of this and start applying for it because. As soon as some of the other, we're pretty fortunate. We have a really good plan. Our hazard mitigation plan, being 1,601 pages long, is a very good plan. And she brought that up again last night. We're very fortunate that a lot of that stuff is FEMA's not going to fight it, you know, because it's approved plan and stuff. There's some communities and counties that still don't have a plan. So we're way ahead of a lot of the areas. We're way ahead of a lot of the areas. So. And that has a lot to do. The other thing is that some of those hydrology things can be done by the NRD possibly. And so we're talking, Sobotka was there last night, so we're talking with him too on that. So hopefully we can get this rolling pretty quick, but the paperwork is going to be probably the most intense thing of it. So We had an investment justification workshop already planning for the 2011-2012 Homeland Security Grants. Strategic National Stockpile is a program. A lot of you might not be familiar with it, but if we ever had to give some type of a medication we work with public health. If we had to vaccinate the whole county, let's say, or something, we're working on that replanning. We kind of let that kind of went away for a year or so, and now we're firing back up on that. And Beatrice is a sub-hub. Gage County is a sub-hub for that. So anything in our five-county health district comes to Beatrice to be distributed, and we're working with the Board of Public Works on that. So we got a couple more meetings coming up with that. And we're trying to get a good plan together again. We have a plan now. It just hasn't been updated for several years. The region actually hired a contractor to help us with our agricultural plan, and with that comes a continuity of operations plan. So the ag plan will be first, and then we're going to be working on writing a continuity of operations plan. For example, if the courthouse was something happened that we could not operate in the courthouse, we'll have a plan now that where we're going to operate the courthouse. That's going to be in the next 6-8 months. We'll be doing that. So we'll be working with elected officials on how we're going to, how we're going to respond and what we're going to do in case something happens to the courthouse. Assisted Security First Bank and Emergency Response Plan. We did some of their tornado plans. Safety Committee, we had a meeting on 4/28, reviewed incidences as required by NIRMA. NIRMA sends us a quarterly report. That's what we're going by now, and we're going to reviewing those and writing a response back and faxing that back to NIRMA. So we're covering all those. We started the safety audits of the county facilities, and then those will come back to me, and we'll gather them all together and get them to the board. Planning for fire extinguisher training for county employees is one of the things we talked about. Mutual aid meeting in Wilbur, just some other things here on the list. I'm not going to go through every one of them. The SEND grant, we're still waiting for, they're supposedly this month, they're going to put the bids out for the sirens for Philly and Virginia. I do have to move the siren to the new fire station in Blue Springs. I got a quote to do that. That's $6,000 to move that siren from the old fire station to the new one. We're going to be moving the pager system in Adams so they get better coverage because they have a lot of people that live outside of town now. We use the repeater now is at the Gold Crest on a short antenna. We got permission from the village to move it to the water tower.
Then we moved that once.
So, no, but it's always been there.
Has it?
Yep. As a matter of fact, this morning we finished up and they're doing the inspection and stuff of the generator at the sheriff's office, so it's up and running. Started on a new budget. I just attached a mitigation planning sheet, and then again the regional meetings. I attached the agenda, and I'm going to bring it up. I do not have minutes from the last 7 meetings, and I'm trying to get that taken care of today because I'd like the board to be able to view those minutes, but we do at our regional meeting. And so that's going to be a huge discussion today. So,
question regarding the regional meeting. In the last year and a half, there were some structure issues there that potentially impacted funding that could have come. What's the progress on that? Is that improving or is that about the same?
That's why we still don't have the minutes from the meeting.
Okay.
And
is that what I attended or stopped in at that one day?
No, that was a mitigation meeting. Yeah.
Okay.
No, they actually got an assistant for the secretary to try to get our meetings done, and that still hasn't worked, so that's going to be discussed again today in length. They have to have the minutes. I mean, we have to follow under the Open Meetings Act and such, and we have to have the minutes. So we haven't approved minutes for 4 months.
Just for the newer board members, I guess this was an issue probably within the last year.
Yeah.
And Sean Weiss's position basically was in jeopardy because of the particular leadership in that district. And so basically I think the state stepped in and put Sean Weiss basically underneath Mark's control. It's kind of a harsh word, but control. So that at least now we have some oversight there. So Mark's kind of been on them for that, and I appreciate that because that does. And you had shared at one point those dollars with us that come in here that were not being used. There's millions of dollars out there for projects.
Yes.
It's a major thing.
Now that we did this justification, you know, we're multiple million-dollar projects we're doing. And that's what's paying for, that's what's going to pay for all the communication stuff we have to have. So, you know, again, does not only affect emergency management, but everybody that's on a state T1 line right now and connected to the state, like the treasurer, that's all going to go through this microwave system. And so if we don't, you know, we don't want to have to pay for that ourselves. So that's a huge thing. So I've had a meeting yesterday with a couple of the other emergency managers in our region. We had lunch together and we discussed it. And I think today we're going to bring it to their attention. That has to change immediately. So, yeah.
That landfill you and I went at, have you had any follow-up on that?
What's that?
That landfill you and I visited?
No, I don't know if the sheriff has. Yeah, we'll have to see if they got. I don't know where they got names. I know that because we took it to them. So.
Well, we're on that. I know, Danny, I think you were around on that part, and Matt. It's a mile south of Holmesville. We've cleaned up that river chunk three times since I've been on the board. Mark and I went and looked at it again, and we did pull names out of it. And it is, we need to seriously, Road and Bridge needs to go look at that road. At some point, we need to either close that road, leave it landowner accessible. Because, Marlon, do you remember how many thousands we spent on that?
Probably last time was like 7,500, I think, we spent on cleaning it up.
And it's three times, is that right?
Yeah.
And it needs it again.
It was kind of neat watching Rex jump down into the ditch. Though.
Going down was easy.
I almost had to call Cleveland's to get him back out of it.
It was down the riverbank, so. Okay, Mark, what else?
It was hot that day, too.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
And need a motion to place a report on file.
So moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Trying to figure out where'd that come from.
Everybody on this end of the table.
Everyone, okay. Seconded by the right side. Okay, seconded by Dorn. Discussion. Vote. 7-0. Highway Superintendent report.
Just on that. A mitigation plan. I was just getting some prices on tubes in like these townships. A 30-inch tube, 40-foot long, which sometimes ain't long enough, but just figuring 40-foot is like $880. The 36-inch is $1,050, same length. So that's the kind of money we're talking about for them kind of tubes, you know, and they go all the way up to 42-inch. I didn't get a price on that. But, starting on my report, we have no planning commission meeting this month. We don't have any business, and during planting time especially, we don't call a meeting. So going down on the agenda, have approve or disapprove hiring a mechanic one for the highway department. We discussed it at Road and Bridge. JD retired a while ago already, and we kind of put off rehiring somebody till get closer to the new budget year.
I'll make a motion to approve hiring Mechanic 1 for Highway Department.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman.
Matt.
Maybe explain with the weed spraying and how that position has come about.
Yeah, two of the mechanics are certified sprayers, and that takes some time out of the shop also. They also, you know, take care of the equipment, so it kind of migrated towards that after we started in this because we had one other guy certified, but he'd get out there and something break down, he'd have to call the mechanic anyway, so we kind of tried to cover it that way, and it seems to be working only when we have one less mechanic. It was a little harder to cover the weed spraying, plus, you know, with all the summer projects going on and the asphalt crew and everything, it's going to spread us pretty thin. So basically on a lot of the sprays anymore, we have to have a certified person on site. Used to be we could, just as long as somebody was certified that overseen the project, you'd be okay. Some of the chemicals are restricted a little more now, so you have to use a, have a certified person actually doing the spraying. So.
Okay. Any more discussion?
This position, what's the, did you check on that hourly rate? This would be a full-time position, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I didn't bring it with me. It was like 14 something.
Well, and Mr. Chairman, can I talk about just the equipment? In Roden Bridge, we talk about equipment, and I think that the rationale for having a second mechanic is we're probably going to look at being in the used equipment market. I think the days of buying brand new for a lot of our equipment are probably over. So there's some necessity in having another mechanic. I think that was a discussion that, you know, there may be some value in using that. Plus, you've got an extra person there that can be used for additional things as well. So that was part of the discussion regarding the mechanic and the spraying needs and things like that. So is that?
Well, I visited the shop last Friday, and the one mechanic was there. He took me through everything, and looking at the equipment down there, with oil changes, tires, overhaul, stuff they were working on, I think equipment-wise also, I mean, there's a high amount of maintenance has to be done down there. I think it's valid. I think we need that third mechanic in there. I mean, it looked to me like the workload they had in front of them was substantial. So I think it's a valid position. I think we need to fill it, yes.
Okay. Any more discussion? Vote 7-0 to approve.
And the next one was approve or disapprove hiring an equipment operator, too, for the asphalt crew. We've been short on that crew since December, but we're just starting up now with we're getting done crack sealing, and we'll be starting the overlays. And just to have enough people to run the equipment. And we discussed at Roden Bridge, you know, possibly making this a part-time thing through the summer, you know.
With seasonal.
Seasonal. And making that work. So I guess that's our kind of request, is for part-time anyway through the summer. And we haven't set a definite rate yet. I know our part-time schedule was like $12.57, but I think in order to find somebody that could be reliable on equipment, because basically they'll run either backhoe, roller, lay-down machine, any of the equipment we have out there, distributor, and kind of that's some of the requirements of that position. So,
I make a motion to approve hiring equipment operator 2 for asphalt crew.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion. Matt.
In going off what Marlon said, we discussed about making that a part-time seasonal work. So as soon as we hire that person, they know there's an end date. And if for some reason, you know, they turn out to be a whiz-bang employee and it's, hey, let's keep this person around, so be it. That, but other than that, they know full going in that there's an end date to this employment. I guess what I would like to see is, you know, basically approve hiring, getting some applicants, and then maybe in the next, maybe start with a part-time wage, which is what, help me again.
Well, what ours last was we did was $12.57. So,
so see if, you know, we probably, because it'll take board action, it's not on here. If we're going to adjust that rate, we'd have to come back in a couple weeks anyway to do that. So, you know, that these are some of the stuff we talked about, but it would be, you know, basically if you take a $14.50 an hour employee, figure in wages and benefits and everything, it's about $50,000 a year when you hire a full-time employee. So knowing that a lot of the asphalt and laydown work is a seasonal type occupation, we said let's, you know, if there's a need there, let's get it, but don't incur the additional costs for the entire year. So that was a discussion we had.
Okay. Marlon, we're going to have to, as soon as we vote on this, we're going to stop you. We have a 9:15.
Okay.
So any more discussion?
Yeah, Rex.
Gary.
Yeah, I think I would prefer that maybe take more look at this and bring it back in 2 weeks with a full this is what we're going to do, situation A, situation B, let's vote on it in full. I won't approve this where we got too many question marks as to, I mean, it's kind of hard to approve something when you don't know what you're approving. I mean, either bring this is what it's going to be or this is what it's going to be and say, here it is. This is what we got. I got some concerns elsewise in the fact that, you know, we gotta watch our pennies, but, you know, I think this is a kind of an important equipment. I think it might be a dangerous situation to start looking at trying to hire seasonal people to take care of this type of equipment. Just a thought to throw out there.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, just to clarify, this would be a laborer, not a mechanic from a seasonal. The asphalt crew, this wouldn't be the mechanic. This would be a laborer.
Yeah, I understand that, Matt. My point is that when you're operating a piece of equipment, at least wherever I've been, you know, when I take care of or when I operate a piece of equipment, I'm also in charge of maintenance, taking care of that to make sure it's in tip-top shape. And I think that's something our employees should be accountable for also.
Okay. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve.
Crap.
Do you want to change it, Gary?
Yeah, 6-1.
We got to change it up there. 6-1. There we go. Lytle against Adam. Juergens, Dorn, Bauman, Adams, Byers, and Setzer in favor. Lytle voting no. 9:15, public hearing to hear support and or opposition on COSIN. Enterprise, LLC, doing business as Homestead Plaza for retail liquor license. Class D, and to approve or disapprove recommendation of the Nebraska Liquor Control Commission. Need a motion to open the public hearing.
So moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Setzer. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to open. Support or opposition, is there a sign-in sheet, or do we need a sign-in sheet today? Do we have support? Let's go support first. No support for it. Yes. And then to the podium and name and address for the record, please.
Hi, my name is Aaron Cosson. Currently, I reside at 548 West Jennifer Drive, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68521.
Okay.
Currently, I've taken over ownership of formerly Aunt Mary's Plaza. I changed the name to Homestead Plaza. It was formerly Diamond T before that. We're north on U.S. Highway 77. We've kept many things the same as what it was before. Currently, I have a temporary operating permit from the state. We've done some things to try and make it a little bit safer for the public to reduce theft. And we've done, I've talked with some employees to make sure that they understand what rules and regulations are.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
Thank you. Anyone else in support that cares to speak anyway?
I'm Tammy Hartman. My family owns Diamond T Truck and Auto Plaza, which actually is leasing the plaza to Aaron, or Costin Enterprises, I guess, as you recognize it. And I am here today just to speak in support. We did a lot of research in finding someone to lease the plaza and feel that Aaron is the, I guess, one for us, and we support his efforts to obtain his liquor license and run the business.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chairman, can I ask them a question? Just a question. Liquor license is basically changing ownership because currently there was retail sales of alcohol out of that facility anyway, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Okay. Gus. Your normal. Okay. They just need to hear that. Any opposition? Need a motion to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to close the public hearing. And now we need a motion to approve or disapprove the recommendation of the Nebraska Liquor Control Commission.
Make a motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Thank you. Marlon, where are we at? Grader routes.
Yeah, next thing was the grader routes. I've got some maps here. I don't know if anybody wants one. They've had them. Road and Bridge has had them, but you can pass them around if anybody wants them. That's the proposed routes. And I guess once we do this, I mean, they can always be tweaked a little bit if something don't work, or like trading miles, that can be something we can accomplish later. So, and in your report, I have a breakdown of the miles for each district then. When it says total G, that means gravel. Then there's blacktop. We consider it kind of in districts when we have to remove snow. One of the comments, I guess, from Road and Bridge is that we'll probably try and come up with a snow removal plan to better accommodate everybody if we get a bad winter like we did two winters ago. That would help. And if we have the dirt crew machine, and if we have that other machine yet that we can use in different areas, like when they're needed, and even if it's a wet spring, say we could always send out another guy on another motor grader to help keep things going. So, any questions for me? Because
Marlon, one of your employees gave me a history lesson, and they told me that it wasn't 20 years ago less. We had 6 maintainers in. I don't know. When did we go to 7 maintainers?
I couldn't tell you that.
But they said that we had 6 then, and, you know, it worked fine. We haven't increased the roads, but people have increased the how they want to use them.
Right.
They went out day or night, and they went out quickly. But you know, this, I believe it's a valuable tool. I think it's something we'd ask that you did, and I told you before, I thought you did a good job on coming up with the route. I think we need the snow routes, the evacuation routes, get a plan in place on it. I'm pleased with what you've done on this.
Thank you.
And it's one of these things that if we don't try something, that doesn't mean it's ironclad. We're not selling the grader. If it doesn't work, we can go back to what we were. But if we never try to change, you never know where you'll end up. So I think it warrants looking at, and I think it'll be a cost saving down the road. Terry.
Well, I agree, Rex. I'm this is change. A lot of people don't like change. But in this instance, I think it's going to be good. I think it's valid. I think it's easily doable. It might take a little more effort on the operators, but I think they can do it. I mean, it's going to be a cost savings, I believe, and I think our roads won't sacrifice.
Myron.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to point out, too, I think you mentioned it, that we're not getting rid of a grader. We're just going from 7 routes down to 6 routes. And I know several times in the past Rex has mentioned that some of the surrounding counties are still probably 20 miles higher per grader than what this will be, and somehow they get their job all done too. And we're not at that. We're going to see how this works, and it should definitely be a cost savings.
The thing about that is when you're comparing counties, I think our county, the roads are probably higher traffic on the roads too, so it is going to take more maintenance on our roads compared to a lot of the surrounding counties. I know that because they're more traveled. So
some of them, I'm going to agree with you. Sarpy, Saunders, and those have high mileage. But something we talked about in Road and Bridge that we probably need to discuss a little bit, this frees up another grader for our high-density routes, Scott and Hickory, mm-hmm. that is sometimes we may have to tag-team a road. And this creates an opportunity to do that. you're only limited to what you want to attempt to try, and I believe we need to, and I think it's a good move.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, more.
But one thing we discussed at the with the motor grader operators, and the difference a little bit with townships is, yes, we have the main roads, the busy roads, and our roads are spread out more. Other counties have every road in a block, you know, each maintainer. So they're in one or two townships, and you know, that's not an excuse. That's just reality. You know,
yeah,
they
elimination of the deadhead.
Yeah, yeah. So, and like Terry was saying, our roads are the main roads, and they're the higher traffic. And the south route, because of the traffic count, I felt he could handle a little more mileage. And you know, we've discussed it at length. If we need to send one out of the shop in that area on a bad snow or help catch up, I mean, that's all fine.
Right. But since we're talking how what the other miles do, Saunders does 55 to 70 all gravel. Saline does 60 to 80 miles, has only 6.5 miles of asphalt. York does 83 to 100 miles all gravel. And those are the ones, and I got the other one here, but that's what we have. But this is a step in the right direction. And any more discussion? Vote.
Oh,
this isn't, is it? I'm off, yeah.
That's fine. The next one, and Matt probably can talk more about this, was the Hickory Road, looking down the road for maybe doing some improvement on the next 4 miles. A lot of that's been engineered. We've done the plan in hand. The engineering was done with the idea of putting asphalt on the next 4 miles, but realistically, the bids are coming in for concrete, cheaper than asphalt, and the bid that Jefferson County got on 7.2 miles was like $4.8 million, and so that's something we're going to look at. Now, if we do 4 miles, I think we're talking maybe, if they come in that way, you know, $2.5 million or something like that. And anyway, go ahead, Matt.
Well, everyone has a packet here with the several different bond paybacks. Basically, we talked about this almost from meeting one in January or somewhere along then about addressing the issue of Hickory Road West, or the Hoyg Road, if you will. And it'd go from the west in an additional 4 miles from where our current project is going to be. And I think there's been some very good questions. I think Rexfield went on the radio. What happens when the hospital goes in place there? What's that traffic going to do? And I see what's going to happen is people are going to drive down that road west and come right off that new paved road there, and then they're going to be on what amounts to a very rough road. And it's no one's fault. It's just the volume and the type of traffic that's on that road. The maintenance of that road is becoming more and more of a burden to the county. So, you know, it's not a new idea, but I think we're at the point now of all the roads in the county, as we sit around and talk, this probably necessitates being addressed sooner than later. You know, Beatrice is growing north, and there's a lot of folks even that live there use it, ag traffic, personal car traffic. It's top speed's about 30, 35 miles an hour, and it's a main thoroughfare. So from a discussion standpoint, the very first sheet is the one that I would, you know, as I'm sitting around, I think we talked a little bit in Road and Bridge as well. I asked Marlon initially when we started talking about this, what's the life of a road? And I think we threw around a 20-year life.
20-year on a concrete road with hardly any big problems. I mean, you'd have the crack ceiling, whatever, every year.
So that's when I looked at, well, okay, what you don't want to do is be paying 25 years on a 20-year road. You know, you'd like to have the thing paid off and still have some reasonable life in that. So looking at a proposed $3.2 million on a 15-year payment is about $280,000 a year. And I think that Rex raised a good point, too, is we have to be careful that we're not doing an infrastructure project that then causes all the continued maintenance on our current infrastructure to be a liability. Just like the building we're all sitting in now, this is an infrastructure issue, and very appropriately, we put money into that. But I also think we need, now we're in a phase where we have to look at our other infrastructure and look at improving that as well. So this is purely just, a discussion at this point, but I think something that we really need to move forward and looking at. The current courthouse bond payment is about $600,000 a year, and that's paid off December of 2013. And there's an internal highway bond, which is about, what is that a year? I just looked at that.
About $99,800.
So I'd say $100,000 a year, and that's, we stretched that out 7 years, I think, so that's paid off in 2016, I think, or something like that. So I think this is something that we're not going to a vote of the people, not asking for an override. This would be an internal bond that with $280,000.
Guaranteed by gas tax allocation money.
Using gas tax allocation dollars to help pay this off. It'll, you know, come right off the current levy that we have. And the reason that we don't have to go to a vote of the people is that at $280,000 a year, again, still a lot of money, going to be on the hook for 15 years, does make it doable within a current budget to continue to maintain the current infrastructure. So, you know, food for thought out there. I think that necessitates a lot of
the
lot
second
of,
mile is under a federal aid project anyway. Is that correct? The second mile?
The industrial road coming south, there's some structures in there that are under federal aid. All that going.
It has been
well,
a long-term
I mean,
term plan.
Yeah, it's STPE project. That money, after we do this first mile, will be basically almost down to zero. I mean, I think we're going to have a positive balance, but and there might be an opportunity there for in 2 years, you know, $250,000 or something off of that STPE fund, because we can do any kind of match on that with that STPE money, so.
And what's our balance of the STPE right now? You'd given that to me.
It's like 900 and some thousand, and that's about what we'll need on that first mile. So
there's, you know, there. I think this is a project that warrants paving. And I'd like to. I know we've talked about it in Road and Bridge, and this is just a discussion item now. So I guess what I'm looking for is some feedback about progressing and what the folks' thoughts are on this.
Terry.
One other thing everybody should keep in mind is the maintenance of that road right now. I think, I shouldn't say daily, but a patrol's out there quite often. The gravel and rock it takes yearly to keep it going. I mean, Martin could look those things up, but I mean, the expense of keeping that road up the way it is now and still have a poor road is fairly high because of the traffic that's on it. So it's just something we got to remember.
Yeah, Terry, I figured, with Matt, it's about $7,000 a mile, just maintenance, and that's on all the miles he does. That's not on Hickory Road. Now, Hickory Road, you'd have to bump that up to quite a bit because it just takes more material and more trips over it.
Myron.
I think, too, Marlon, the last count you gave us was over 400 vehicles a day or something like that on Hickory, and I don't remember which miles that was, but a fair amount of those are heavy.
And that's
semi.
Actually down a little, and I look for it to come back up. Once
the hospital
gets in there.
Gets in and gets done, and like I said, a fair amount of those are heavy agriculture or semi-traffic from the plant over there.
Dennis.
Well, I think it's excellent, Matt. I like what you guys have done. I like the 15-year debt thing. We need to look at it from the standpoint of economic development too. And as we're looking at expanding our participation, we look at what is going to happen in the future and what we want to have. We want to appear friendly to prospective industrial prospects, and doing that will be very positive. I think would be very positive toward doing that road.
When you talk economic development, in reality, there's one railroad line that feeds Beatrice, and that would head to that railroad line, which I know in the past there had been some interest of some different type industries in that same area.
Mm-hmm.
So it does help. I think Marlon needs to touch on, which we've talked about in Road and Bridge, but so everyone knows, the River Bridge does not need anything to happen to it to have a new road. It meets state requirements now. I think extensions of it, some culverts. Otherwise,
there'd be a couple of smaller structures, but that River Bridge is not a deficient bridge. It's over 85% sufficiency. So it doesn't qualify for federal bridge replacement dollars. It could qualify for some bridge enhancement dollars, which would be guardrails, stuff like that. So, yeah, that's correct. I mean, that's a good bridge down there, too. So, there are a couple small structures, but it...
Yeah, just so people are aware of that. Any more discussion? It's just a point to start thinking about. And it is a, you know, there is no longer a bypass. That is a destination road when the hospital opens. And no matter how you try to get around it, it is a destination now.
So, Mr. Chairman, I guess my final discussion is through Roden Bridge, I suppose we should, we need to start moving on this, I guess, is my thought. Obviously, there's going to be a time for formal approval, and but I think that there's probably some merit in Marlon's free time to maybe, tongue-in-cheek, get some of this going. There's been a lot of this work that's already been done, but try to progress forward with this. Is that kind of the...
Yeah. Well, I think Roden Bridge, yeah, you can proceed. And, you know, my concerns were make sure the one of the bonds falls off before another one comes up. Make sure the infrastructure, existing infrastructure, isn't neglected to create a new one. As we all know, if we create something new and then we can't maintain what we have, we've lost ground. So we need to be able to achieve both of them.
But I just want to throw out, too, I noticed this is a projection on emeritus investment. We do have local people who do bonds also. Let's make certain that we include them as far as an opportunity is concerned. I think it's very, very important. Those are the people who live here, who pay salaries, who pay taxes, and have their money invested in our community. And if we can do business with them, I certainly think we need to do that.
I agree. Reality, this isn't going to happen overnight. If it does happen, it's probably 2 to 5 years away. You know, it just takes that long to get everything done. So, any more discussion on the Hickory Road Project West?
Next thing I had was approve or disapprove highway superintendent attending summer meeting.
Yes, I want to make a motion so we can discuss this. Approve or disapprove? I would guess make a motion to approve without the exclamation point.
Yeah, I don't know how that got on there. Must have been a typo.
Copy and paste.
Oh, second.
Second. Okay, discussion.
What is this?
Yeah. Moved by Bauman, seconded by Dorn.
This is the summer one we talked about. It's in June at Highway Superintendents, Engineers, and whatever conference. There's like, I think, 8 hours, 6 hours, a little over 6 hours of continuing ed at it. So.
When did you talk about it?
When we were talking budget one other time. But
because none of us from Roden Bridge remembered it this week, so...
Yeah, we didn't discuss
it. Yeah, I forgot to bring it up Monday.
Okay. Right,
yeah. Okay. Just you?
Okay, where's it at?
Yeah, just me.
Where's it at? How long?
Fine. And it's 7th, 8th, and 9th, I think.
Of June, Marlon?
Yeah.
Reimbursable at all?
No. It's not from the state on these.
And we're talking, so we'd be room... What's the conference cost? I just curious.
Well, the room I think would be about $89.
Nine times three, two, so 240. And what's a conference? Is it a free?
I think it's $70.
$70. And you'd take a county vehicle, the minivan or something or whatever. So something with gets mileage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, I think this will go in probably next year's budget.
Budget.
Though.
Yeah, it won't.
Because it'll be after our deadline for this year's fiscal year. So.
Okay. Any more discussion, Myra?
You'd be gone all 3 days, the whole...
Yeah.
Just 3 days, not a fourth day or anything? Or, I mean, travel or Valentine's a long ways away.
Yeah, and they can leave on the 7th and come back on the 9th. So.
Okay, any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve.
In your packet, I also put a, and we looked at this at Roden Bridge and with our discussion, and this is the equipment plan I've kind of been working on. I did move a sign truck over into the 2011-2012. And then in with discussion with Road and Bridge, we're thinking of looking at used also, so them prices might be a little high, but when we start looking, and also in the same discussion was the we have a lot of Sterlings down there, and there seem to be high maintenance trucks, and they're not real workhorses. That and we have one Mac left that it hardly ever sees a shop unless it's for brakes or whatever, and them Sterlings seem like they're in there all the time. So just, and that's just to make you aware of. We'll be discussing more of that at Road and Bridge and everything. So, and then moving on down, we've talked about this a couple of times, is that MIPS highway program, and I'll have to get with finance and Road and Bridge and see what we want to do on that. They would like to, if we do it, we would like to get it implemented so we could start on a new budget year if we go ahead and do it. So just keeping in there for a reminder. Then on a budget update, after this week's claims were about 92% of the year with 89% of the budget used. I think we're going to make it. We are starting to haul more rock and gravel. The contractor for the townships isn't able to haul yet, the low bidder. Hopefully by the end of this week he'll have some gravel on the ground, and he had to move his bin and pump and everything, and seems to be taking a long time. But we are hauling gravel on county roads, and there are a couple townships getting done with the rock. So the projects on the Beatrice North, we did the migratory bird survey yesterday. We all conferred. We couldn't find any. The road's going to be closed on Monday for utility work. The electric line's already going in. There's going to be some trenching and stuff done for the phone lines, and then, of course, the water and sewer lines that are going to cross it that we have to get done before the concrete goes down. And the start date for Warner Construction is June 6th, but this other pre-stuff is going to start next week. So, and we have a detour route, and we're getting the signs in. Supposed to get in Friday, and we're going to put them up Monday morning. So, moving on to the Barnston project. As of yesterday, they ran out of working days. The roads rocked. We pulled the bridge out signs off. We got the end barricades up because they'll be seeding and stuff, and that's one thing with the engineer and the contractor. I don't know how them working days are going to play out or whether it'll be an issue, but I think the farmers can get across now. So that's where that one's at. The next one in Wymore, still haven't heard back from SHPO on their concurrence. And Philly North, I sent out an information letter, and Don, I put them ads in the paper, so that's mine.
Okay.
And Emily and Nancy didn't know I did that.
Okay.
And so they didn't know it was our bill or whoever.
Maybe it's already even gone through.
Okay. And I did put another one in, so you'll be getting another one. Okay. And that was on the Philly North, so. Any of the federal projects, you're supposed to do an information thing, and that's what it is. And I send out letters to all the adjoining landowners and neighbors in the area, fire departments. Gus, he always has a lot of feedback. And then that's going down to the crews. We're still clipping some bridge for them inspection things on the bridge crew. Got to make the steel clips and put them on the wood decks so they don't float away, I guess, when the high water comes. And asphalt crew's just about done sealing cracks, and we'll go to doing the... We'll have to do some cutting and patching, and then starting to do the overlays. We're gonna have a lot of work to do on that. So asphalt roads are really showing a little wear, so... And the dirt crew's starting to do projects on taking out tube bridges and putting in the tubes that we have laying on the ground. So, and I think that's all I got. Any questions?
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
Approve or disapprove resolution to close the emergency bridge fund and combine it with the current road and bridge sinking fund, and to direct the county treasurer to transfer all monies in emergency bridge fund as June 30th, 2011.
Motion to approve.
Resolution 11-23.
11-23.
11-23. Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Setzer. Discussion.
So basically, what this is Dawn and I, it's starting to become budget time, so periodically, and when I get any free time, I come down and visit with Dawn, and we'll start to have some more afternoon meetings. I just had some time the other day, so Dawn and I kind of pow out a little bit. I've talked about this for probably the last year, about using our sinking funds to build those up to an appropriate level, basically a kind of a savings account, if you will. We've done the same thing with insurance. We need to start a building sinking fund. And we've got two. There's an emergency bridge and a road and bridge sinking. And just as a point of conversation, road and bridge sinking, hold on, emergency, which one was that? Yeah, road and bridge sinking at one point had $1 million in it. And that was to pay for some paving projects. That was part of that internal bond. And so my thoughts are we build up some of these sinking funds. By making this transfer, and by the end of this year, we'll have almost $800,000 in emergency road and bridge sinking fund. And where that's important is you don't have to put dollars into the budget, which then become taxpayer expense. You have this sinking fund that sits there so that when you have a need to get into that, you've got those reserves sitting there. Looking at also, you know, inheritance right now has right about $1 million in it. There's light at the end of the tunnel, I guess, and that's where our due diligence with regard to the budget. People say, well, the county's broke. No, the county's not broke. Well, how come you're always on everyone about the budget? Because if you keep people on their budget, you build up these funds. That's where it's appropriate, and we're getting there. So there's light at the end of the tunnel. This is kind of a housekeeping issue as we move forward with the next budget, try to combine some of those so we're taking care of our infrastructure and we can use some of those funds. You know, the long term I see is you get the inheritance, keep that up, be diligent and miserly with that, get a road and bridge emergency sinking fund, get that to $1 million, and then get your courthouse, sheriff, infrastructure building fund up to $1 million. You can't do it overnight. You got to do it over time. And then look at the insurance fund and get that up. I think the recommendation was 20% of what your gross annual expenses are, so we spend about $1 million. So probably $200,000. We get that up over a period of time. Once those are there, and we're not far off, but you do a little bit at a time because you don't want to overtax people to try and build these funds up. You want to do it appropriately over a period of time. There's light at the end of the tunnel, and it's the cooperation with the other elected officials that not at the end of the year, not dumping the budget, you know, working with those elected officials to have an appropriate budget so that we can continue to take care of our infrastructure and provide services. So that's kind of the long and short of it is we need to combine this fund. It's a housekeeping, but that's the long-term plan. And there's light at the end of the tunnel. We're you know, as long as everyone continues to stay on budget and work hard and seek value for every dollar we spend, we're going to be in good shape.
I want
menu for that. I think this is good cash flow business and very well done. Something that we should pursue. I think it's very well done, and I commend you for that.
I just want to touch on the history of why we have the emergency bridge fund, and Dennis can touch on that from how it's been. But example, Holmesville Blacktop Bridge goes out, Zion North Bridge goes out, Philly North, Odell, Scott Street. We put in a federal aid on one of our major roads. Barnston Federal Aid started in 1986. Wymore started in 1996 or whatever it was. So some of these major roads, that's why we need $300,000 to $800,000 there. If one of the major bridges go out, you need it to, if we have to put that bridge in. So that's why the importance of this fund is very important.
Rex, I'll concur with you, too. On the RC&D meeting, I think I've told you guys, for Richardson County down there, a bridge went out. And at the last meeting, the guy said they're looking at borrowing $800,000 so they can replace that bridge now. if they'd wait and do a federal project, they're not sure when it is, and that bridge is used by 11, 12, 15 people, he said, daily, and not just once a day. It's their only route. So that's why you need to plan ahead and do some of this stuff. Otherwise, you're looking at going out and borrowing that type of money.
Yes. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove extending Schultz and Associate contract for audit service 1 year, expiring 2013 instead of 2012 due to the state auditor conducting audit for this fiscal year.
I'll make a motion to approve in hoping that the clerk will expound on the motion.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Dawn, discussion.
We received a letter, and I think county attorney kind of gave you a heads up that auditor from the state would be coming in and auditing us. When I received a letter that stated that they would be coming in, they will be coming in at a charge to us. They will be up to, I think Maxima said, $15,500 could be the cost. They also advised us in there if we had someone hired for our audits already that we try to pursue them backing up their contract a year and adding on that so we're not paying for two auditors in one fiscal year. So that's the reason for this. And I did talk to Max, and he was very agreeable to this. So that's where we're at right now. Just trying to make it all tidy.
Does the state come in every so often, or why now?
Well, I think there was a request from an elected official for some auditing, and I think they periodically just choose counties, and so I, from what I understand, they thought it had been time. Gage County hadn't been audited, so they were going to do a complete audit.
It was good to be our turn.
Yeah, I guess so. So hopefully everything goes good. So.
Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Discuss contract with GIS Workshop to handle census redistricting. Dawn?
We received some information from GIS, and that's who the assessor's office uses for all of their paperwork or however they, their computer programs and stuff. Some of the clerks had dealt with the census in the past, and I know they had talked to the individual that I received a letter from on the census and the redistricting. And I, in the past, from what I understand, there has been information provided to the local levels where there won't be any longer the task. I don't know. I haven't gone through it. So this is a company that is willing to come in, draw the maps, give an option of three different maps, and do that for us for $2,800. So that's kind
I'm not against this, but I told Dawn and I talked to Matt a little bit. I believe we need to see how much our numbers have changed. We did this when I first come on the board, and it was the board picked a body and then the clerk's office. We realize our growth has been to the north, but our boundaries may only change where Dennis loses 50, Kathy loses 50, Matt has to gain 100, you know, something like that. It may not be as daunting as we think, but then it could be overwhelming. Then the 2,800 is very, very well spent. But until we see what it is, I don't think we should jump into a contract until we know. That's just my thought.
And we've got, to the end, we've got 6 months. And I think I looked on U.S. Census data. It looked like Gage County lost population, so I don't know where the loss
may not change.
May not change at all. So we don't know at this point. But I think we got 6 months, I think.
Myron.
It has to be completed by the end of the year.
By the end of the year.
By the end, well, where do you get those numbers, or how do they? Somebody.
They will make them available at some point.
This company here can acquire the information. We have to go online somewhere to try to find them. They do not provide the maps. This individual from GIS, she sent me an email. And I'll just kind of read what she said. What has changed for the first time? The state is no longer providing data directly to the clerks. It is more of a self-serve from a website, and you have to know where to find it on the website. In the past, it was a highly manual process, which took valuable time from the clerk's staff, whoever's handling it, because it was manual. The level of accuracy was less than it is when handled by a redistricting specialist. We can automate the process using available maps and data. And I know we do have to work with the city with their lines before we can complete our lines for their wards. So they have notified the city to see if they would be interested in doing something together, and then that would take $100 off of our cost. It says the process works where we take all impacting maps, precincts, wards, districts, et cetera, create three redistrict commissioner boundary map options. Take the three map options, discuss them with the board to a final, arrive at a final map, and then tweak the map to your specifications. And then they are going to begin working on this in June, it says. So that's kind of
It's just an informational deal now. Digest it, give it some thought, and then we can address it, you know, in 2 weeks, a month, whatever we need to. Any more discussion on the GIS workshop? Okay. Discuss interlocal EMS interlocal agreements.
Gary and Myron, we'll discuss this more tomorrow at 4 o'clock in our emergency management / EMS meeting. Basically, the current EMS agreements with our ambulance providers, those are up the end of July. So there 'll be a term change. We have to provide notification to the parties. There's also, you know, we also should reaffirm the Gage County Emergency Medical Services Advisory Committee. There's, and that's the charter that we did about a year ago, year and a half ago maybe. Basically what that does is kind of outlines how that advisory committee will work and what some of the guidelines are there. The one that would be changed would be the entering of eNARCIS reports going from 72 hours to 48 hours. So we'll be sending out, I guess what we'll talk about in committee, which will then come to the board in 2 weeks, would be proposing sending the contracts out for review of all the ambulances. And we expanded this year. We picked up Odell as a non-transport BLS. We picked up Pickerel as a non-transport BLS. We fund Cortland directly as a non-transport BLS, and then we have Claytonia and Beatrice. And then we'll be sending any other ambulance service that's out there. We'll send out a contract for their consideration, and we'll hear back. So,
any more discussion on the EMS committee reports? Terry.
Okay, as I stated earlier, I went down to the county ward on Friday when most equipment was in shop, and there is a valid need for some equipment down there. There's some sign trucks. The doors are about ready to fall off the skin. They're so rusted through. It's something, you know, the age and everything, I think we just have to look at a few things. I mean, there's good equipment there, too. We have some good equipment down there. The heavy equipment all looks, I'd say, in excellent condition, excellent shape. The pickups, you know, that are used daily down there are in probably some need for replacement. I don't like to spend any money any more than anybody else does, but and I'm not a proponent of new either. But that did come up in discussion, Matt, about maybe within through emergency management might have some pickups available.
MPG.
MPG. We'll look at that. And Marlon's listed most of the things, you know, that we're looking at this year. But some of those items I think could be probably reduced. I think there's probably good used equipment available. The dump truck in particular, I think that we could look at. But that's down the road again, too. Road, Hickory's going to be closed next week. Basically, everything else Marlins went through, I think. So.
Okay. Any other committee reports? Matt.
Finance committee, I wasn't there. So, but as we move forward with the budget process, we'll probably have meetings outside of just the regular, and there'll be more frequent as we go through this, and
Don helps with that. And there's a desire to have some of the agencies come before and give kind of a 3 to 5 minute abridged version of what they do. And they will be instructed. It's 3 to 5 minutes. So those will start to probably show up on the agenda through the budget process. So if there's any questions of those agencies that we fund, those types of things. So I expect
that request too from the agency, saying they really would like to be able to come and do a presentation to us. And
so that they'll show up. Right. And,
To the whole board or to just the committee?
To the whole board. Yep. So you can ask them any questions you like and that type of stuff. So we had done that once before, but I don't think we time limited them out.
No, you need to, because they can wander. You know, they're proud of what they do. And
yep. And we've heard from three already, I think, or two already, so I don't know if they want to come back, but we've heard the region services and region systems. So.
Any other committee reports? Anything else for the good of the order?
Oh, well, talk economic development a little bit. You want to?
Yeah, now's the time.
Talk about that a little bit. Basically, we'll meet again tomorrow night. Again, continuing to progress. Looking at, I think we're in the process now of asking, seeking out board members, potential board members, asking people. So we'll try and collect those names. Again, slow process. I won't say it's arduous. It's just slow, and as it should be. You know, and we're trying to put a system together, and don't give anyone the false impression this thing's going to be a turnkey and it's going to be off and running. It takes time to try and build a system that's going to be efficient. You've got a great working relationship with the city. Continue to say that. A lot of open exchange of different ideas. We keep plugging away, so we're trying to put a system in place. It is going to be planning for some time, so... at some point, there'll have to be a...
Ooh, Danny, a dollar.
At some point, there'll be a... with the budget moving forward, they're working on an interlocal agreement that we'll visit with. I hope they have that by Thursday. We're supposed to get some of that stuff via email to kind of look at ahead of time, since, you know, I say we're meeting weekly, but basically it's only weekly. It takes a lot of time to go through these things. So, progressing well. Any other committee members want to talk? Anything else to share?
I don't know. I'll just comment, too. Sometimes it seems like it's going slow. We are trying to do some of this stuff as fast as we can, but I think it's progressing well, and I think so far, at least the meetings we've had so far with the city, it's gone well. We've discussed a lot of the things that could be issues visited back and forth about them, and nobody's thrown anybody out of the room yet or whatever, so we're getting along fine or whatever.
Anything else?
Rex.
Gary. I'd just like to say, both of you mentioned everything's going well with the city. I don't see that there should be any issues with dealing with the city, so I don't know why that keeps coming up, but...
Well, the only reason I make that comment was just because of past history, Gary. I mean, we're not having any issues with them, and I guess there's always that concern out there. But
ever since one guy got off that board, you ought to see how it turned around.
Yeah.
No, I could say something.
No, I think Gary, I think you raised a good point. I think maybe that's just it's maybe nothing implied there. It's just. It's a good process, I guess. We as a group, and I guess I hesitate to say city, county, but we as a group are doing well. And I think that there's differences of opinions that come up. There's different ideas, but you'll get as many ideas as you get people in a room. So at some point, you kind of plod forward, kind of like herding cats at times. If you can get them to go in the general direction, you're probably doing okay.
Yeah, which is a good thing. When you come into a room, you don't want to have everybody thinking the same
way.
So
exactly.
I would expect that, but I also would expect that. The city and the county have a lot of joint interests here, and I really see no reason that we shouldn't be able to get along fine. So
exactly.
I'm glad to hear that, but I don't think it's something that we want to try and pick at an open wound accidentally.
I'll make a point to remove that from my vocabulary.
And I think you're doing a good job and building a record. I think build a record of the discussions so you have what each party has brought to the table and what they're recommending, and so you have that as a matter of record. It's very important. I think you're doing a good job.
And we do keep minutes to those, and I don't. Trying to be careful, we don't contact too many people. I probably have to make sure I get those to the clerk, and then she can bounce those to everybody else as well who aren't on the committee. So, you know, we keep minutes and things like that, so we'll make sure we get those out.
Okay. Anything else for the good of the order?
Rex, just a quick comment. Denny came yesterday morning. We had some other guys come yesterday morning. We met concerning the web broadcasting the meetings or whatever, and we do have a quote for putting a camera in here and getting all the wires down to the, I don't know, I call it the control room down there or whatever. And Don's working with them and probably with Mark Mainz about getting, we need a quote for a few more things of equipment down there. And then at least, I think Denny agreed too, after yesterday, we at least agree on all where we're going, and we know now how we need to get there. And it's just going to be a matter of time, but we are getting closer. Sure. And I don't know when, sometime we'll bring it to the Buildings and Ground Committee, and then they can forward it on to the full board or whatever. So we're getting closer. Just takes.
We're learning a lot through this process, and of course there are a lot of the information these professionals give to Myron and I, and we just kind of shake our head and hope they understand what they're doing.
Well, for instance,
yeah,
Don,
there's some truth to that.
We were on Don's cell phone yesterday for 18 minutes talking with a guy down there, so trying to make sure we...
And I was holding it.
Yeah, knew what was going on and what needed to be communicated back and forth, and to make sure we're getting the right equipment and the right things done so that this will work.
We're making really good progress. I think Myron's done a great job in following through with this as the chair of that. That's great. We're doing great.
Anything else for the good of the order? Board of Supervisors adjourned at 10:06.